Leviticus chapter 19, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in this chapter, actually. We begin in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God demands holiness on the basis of his own holiness. And no other reason is needed. No other explanation from God is needed. Be holy, for I am holy. You know, our country, America, today seems to take pride in being a pluralistic society. You know, we're told all the time we're not to judge each other's conduct because that's being narrow-minded. But we seem to be ignoring the fact that any nation that doesn't judge evil will be judged by God because he's the Lord. 3. You shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Respect for parents is paramount in the eyes of God. You know, parents stand in the place of God to their children. A child learns to respect authority. A child learns to obey God by first obeying his parents. And this law directed toward respecting parents and the Sabbath laws were the only two positive commands. The other eight were, thou shalt not. Both of these were, thou shalt. And both of them are essential to the maintenance of a stable society, at least in Israel, as far as the Sabbath was concerned. Verse 4, turn not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. He says, turn not to idols. Satan likes to trap people in false religion by sometimes appealing to their eyes. You know, these systems can look very holy. The people involved can dress very sharp, very conservatively, or, as someone might say, holy. Or they put on a religious ritual that really is quite a show. But God warns, don't turn to idols. Don't turn to it. In other words, don't even glance at them when something is unscriptural and you know it is unscriptural. Don't look at it anymore. Turn away and don't look back. Verse 5, and if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and on the morrow. And if any remain until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And, of course, this was covered earlier in detail, but this is a reminder that although the peace offering was to be made voluntarily, it was to be done right. And if we're going to do something for God, we should make sure that it is done correctly in line with Scripture, or don't bother doing it, because he won't accept it. 9, and when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, neither shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. The method of harvesting in those days usually left about 10 to 20% of the crop in the field. And God said, leave it there for the poor to pick. And we learn from this that God does provide for those who don't have anything. God is not in favor of welfare for people who are able to work, but he does command workfare. God believes in giving poor people an opportunity to work. Do something in response for getting something. He doesn't believe in a handout for able-bodied people who can work. Make them do something. And, you know, there is dignity in any work, any honest work. Which brings us to verse 11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. God says, don't steal. Don't take money that doesn't belong to you. Don't take time that doesn't belong to you. Don't even take credit, you know, praise that doesn't belong to you. Don't lie, don't deceive, because any form of deception is, in essence, lying. Verse 12, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. This is talking about perjury. It's a sin. You take an oath to swear, to tell the truth, and then you don't, and then you tell a lie, that's a sin. And these are all variations of the third commandment. So we see that taking God's name in vain includes more than cursing. Verse 13, you shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. Stop there for a second. The sin of fraud, I suppose, is around today as much as ever. Even in the world of sports, you know, you have people who pump themselves up with steroids, and then they really perform well, and then they land a huge contract, and then they get off the steroids and they can't play, and the team is out the money. Fraud. Last part of verse 13. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning. God cares about the working man, the working woman. If you don't give him the money that he has coming, when he has coming it, you're going to answer to God for that. 14. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God, I am the Lord. You know, the fact, and I've said this in the past, I know, but the fact that God has to tell us not to do this, what does that say about fallen humanity, sinful mankind? People who take advantage of a person's handicap are despicable, as well as sinful. 15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. Judges need to judge like God judges, according to his word, without partiality. So any law that shows favoritism based on one's race or social status or anything else is unbiblical. And it's going to bring a curse upon that country in place of a blessing. Justice is perverted. 16, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. God says, think about what you're going to say before you say it. And if your words are going to hurt someone, and if your words are going to hurt someone's reputation, then be quiet. In other words, don't spread scandal. Don't spread slander. Some people run around gathering bits of information about others and then broadcast them to anyone who will listen. There's a lot of that going on. Just keep it to yourself. Last part of verse 16, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. In other words, don't stand, don't act against the life of a neighbor. I am the Lord. The point here is that we're not to spread lies or withhold any truth that could result in danger to our neighbors. 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor. and not suffer sin upon him. God says if you refuse to rebuke a sinning brother, you're going to share in his guilt. And again, the last part of verse 17, you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. In other words, don't incur sin because of him. We're not to hold a grudge against our brother. Instead, we're to approach them in love and try to be reconciled. So if they do something wrong to you, don't become bitter. Bitterness is a sin. So by hating our brother in our heart for something that he has done to us, we are just as guilty before God as he is. Verse 18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And there it is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You say, I don't love myself. You love yourself. Self-love is a biblical given. It is a given. But it's also the standard by which we should treat others. Love others, even as you do love yourself, and you do love yourself. Even those who have harmed you in some way. Care for them the way you care for yourself. 19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolen come upon you. And I don't think anyone can say with certainty why God prohibited these mixtures. I think we can all agree that it's unnatural to try to breed different types of animals. Wool and linen, that's not natural because it shrinks differently and they take dye differently. So that's a good reason to avoid doing that. Mixing seed would make harvesting difficult since crops ripen at different times. But maybe the most important message in this verse is a spiritual one. Don't mix truth and error. That certainly is repeated in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. So these are good illustrations of the commandment not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And don't mix with sin with holiness. And don't mix true or error with truth. Be holy, for I am holy, God said. 20. And whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has done, and the sin which he has done shall be forgiven him. A female slave who was engaged to a free man but slept with another, had sexual relationships with another before her marriage was consummated, would be punished. But she would not be killed because, and that would be the normal punishment for a free woman who committed adultery or fornication. The penalty was less because it was presumed that she wasn't free to resist. And yet she was punished, and damages had to be paid to her owner and or her fiancé. The man involved in the sexual act had to bring a trespass offering. 23. And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. In other words, forbidden. 3 years shall it be forbidden to you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord with. And the fifth part, you shall eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield to you the increase thereof. I should say, and in the fifth year shall you eat the fruit thereof, that it may yield to you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. Now, God understood, because he designed everything that he made. You know, he even understands about trees and gardening and farming, everything. God understood the laws of nature because he invented them. And he knew that, of course, before anyone knew that there were even any laws to begin with. And so God knew what the experts know today, which is young fruit trees will grow faster and yield better fruit if the buds are nipped in the first few years. Verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. In other words, divination, soothsaying, things like that. Fortune telling, all forms of witchcraft, occult, absolutely forbidden by God. America is becoming obsessed with the occult. You know, during Christmas time, I saw people advertising Ouija boards, stores advertising Ouija boards. And this actually began in the 60s, believe it or not. A much more innocent time. Because, oh, it's just fun. No, it's not fun. Nobody took it seriously back in those days. But God certainly does. That sort of thing is evil, satanic. It's a substitute for trusting in God and in his word and in his son, Jesus Christ. 27, you shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. That would be a tattoo. I am the Lord. Shaving the sides of the head until it looked like a bowl was used for a guide. That, along with tattooing and cutting the flesh, were all forms of heathen worship among the Egyptians and the Arabs back in those days. It was more than just decorative. It was occultish. And even if God's people are not actually worshiping an idol, they sin if they try to be cool by mimicking their appearance or their fashions, which is what God is talking about here. Elsewhere, he prohibited his people from worshiping idols. Here, the issue is looking like them, looking like the people who worship idols, looking like the unsaved of the world. What do you want to be doing that for if you belong to me? We need to be holy if we're God's people today, Christians. Not live as close to the world as we possibly can get and still be saved. You know, God doesn't think it's cool when his people try to look or act like the heathen. 29. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Some heathens back in those days would sell their daughters' services and then offer the money to their idols. I says, I don't want my people to do that. Don't bring any money to me. Don't give me any offerings that comes from something immoral. Don't want it. Not just prostitution, anything that is more immoral. The wages of unrighteousness. That doesn't want it. 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Honoring the Sabbath and honoring the house of God are signs of a good relationship between God and his people. And that is an indispensable element for a strong society, is to have that backbone, that foundation of a strong relationship between God and its people. And the God I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus bodily. Anyone who has the Son has the Father. Anyone who does not have the Son does not have the Father. I'm talking about Jesus. 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. He's talking about mediums. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And so we're not to give any degree of approval whatsoever in any way to any kind of spiritism or those who practice it. The Bible says we're to abstain from every form of evil, and that would include occult practices. You say, well, I just play with it. You know, I got some tarot cards, and I just play with it. It's just a lot of fun. No, God says you mess with it, and you're going to get defiled. You know, that is an open door to demonic possession and oppression. 32. You shall rise up before the hoary head. That'd be the white head, the aged head, gray hair. And honor the face of the old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord. God connects reverence for him to respect for older people. God demands that young people be considerate to the elderly. They need to be respected, need to be treated well. Not because they always did everything perfect when they were younger, because they didn't, but because God says they're entitled to it. 33. And if a stranger sojourn with you in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. God says, don't treat a foreigner like a second-class human being. Treat him like you treat yourself, with dignity. Every human being deserves dignity. And of course, if they're guilty of a crime, that's a different story. If they're here illegally, that's a different story. I mean, you still want to treat them with dignity, but one must keep the laws of the land as well. Verse 35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in wrong, or I should say in measurements, in weight, or in measure. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measurements, in weight, or in measure. I used to be a produce manager many, many years ago, and every now and then, the government would send somebody from the Bureau of Weights and Measures to inspect my products, to make sure that I wasn't deceiving the people, to make sure that they were paying for what was written on the package. So, you know, the weight of the package had to be correct. And boy, you know, he would take several items and put them right on the scale and measure them, make sure they were accurate. God is concerned about this. You know, when you buy or sell or trade, don't treat one another, or cheat one another, I should say. Make sure the customer knows what he's getting. That's the issue here. And this verse also is talking about inflation. It makes it clear that a government should not inflate the money supply. That's not right. That is unscriptural. That is unbiblical. Because when they do that, the value of the dollar drops. And guess what? They're not earning as much as they thought they were earning. And their money doesn't buy as much as what they thought their money should buy or would buy. It's a form of fraud. Or they're selling something for less than what they think they're really getting for it. 37, therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. You say, well, I don't know. I just don't have the proper motivation for obeying all these orders. I don't know. Maybe someday. Listen, God gives us one all-encompassing reason right here. Do it because I said so. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am God. So do it.